Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I have probably the most special guest I could think of to bring you on the podcast series, and that is none other than the man you've heard me talk about in every angle of real estate for all these years, my dad, Daryl Thomas. Daddy, tell everybody hello.
Yo, hello.
So to give you some background on my dad, if you don't know anything about him, he got his realtor designation in 1978 and is still mostly retired, but kind of selling some houses when he feels like it, which is the beauty of real estate. In almost 40 years of the business, one of the most interesting things about my dad is that he hasn't really built up this crazy database of enemies, which is very rare in an ego-filled and money-filled business. So when I asked him if he could think of a crazy story to tell us, I was thinking he would have hundreds to pick from because he's sold so many houses over his career. But of course, being the sweet person that he is, he's forgotten all the mean stuff. However, he did think about 1978 and his first transactions. So I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about one of his first transactions in the business. And it's some interesting things that you younger listeners just might not even believe.
When I first came into business, interest rates are going nuts. And it got so loan officers, the only loan officers, we didn't have mortgage companies in Charlotte. We had S&Ls, and that's about the only kind of loans you could get.
Now hang on just a minute, because some of our listeners are young, and you said interest rates were nuts. So why don't you tell them what nuts look like in 78, 79, 80?
All right, just give an indication. I called a loan officer one morning, and he made a mistake and answered the phone. And I said, what are FHA rates today? He said, we're floating. I said, if you had to tie it down, what would it be? He said, 21%. I said, how many points? He said, 10. I said, thank you very much. So that's the kind of environment we were working in. Wachovia had a 13.5% mortgage, variable rate mortgage, that was a negative AM. It was, and your rate was based on a three-month T-bill auction every 3 months, and your interest rate would change. That's the only money that was out there to use.
And that's more than you would pay to a loan shark today, or that you would pay for a crazy bad credit score credit card. Those numbers are crazy.
Oh, yeah. And that's just the way the market was. There was a listing that was a quadplex in downtown Charlotte. And I did a lot of cold calling for people moving in from out of town. And back then, I could go down to the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, and they just had a paper list of people who had called in asking questions, and I'd get the name and phone number, and I'd get a pocket full of quarters and go downstairs, get on the phone and call them. And I found a person. He was looking for an investment property, and somebody in our company had a listing of a quadplex. So I showed it to him, and he had an interest and wanted to buy it. He couldn't find anybody to lend him any money on it. So I approached the owner. I said, would you do a wraparound mortgage? A wraparound mortgage, for those of you who haven't heard the term, the seller would keep the existing mortgage in place, and then we'd do a secondary mortgage, and it's sort of wrapped around the existing mortgage. And
so like the second mortgage would be for the seller's equity, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be seller financing, in a word. And what the buyer would do would write a single check to the owner, and the owner would keep part of it, and they would continue to make payments on the existing mortgage. Well, as a matter of fact, understand, this is an environment, this was pre-fax, pre-computer, pre-cell phone. This was landline-only business or in face-to-face. And so I found out who the loan officer was, and I called him. And I said, can we do a wraparound mortgage? And he said, sure. So we did it. We got it closed out. And then I got a call from our company attorney saying that the S&L had called the note due. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? So the seller didn't have enough money to pay off the mortgage. Nobody had enough money to do it. And I told him what had transpired. The attorney called the loan officer. The loan officer denied ever talking to me. So we eventually worked it out. The attorney they didn't want to, this was one of the bigger real estate companies in Charlotte, and nobody really wanted to sue and go after them. So it worked out a deal. But the lesson I learned was that if it's not in writing, it never happened. And Lee, you remember how much credence I put on getting something in writing as opposed to what they're just going to tell you. So that was the one that almost put me out of business before I basically got started. But it was
all because the bank
lied.
They lied to you, didn't want anything in writing, and then didn't want to keep the note.
They saw an opportunity to call the note.
Crazy.
And so it was, that was, it was a learning experience, and I still got paid. It all worked out there. We had a good attorney. His name was Tom Cummings. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he's a good guy. He worked it out with the owner of Mutual Savings and Loan. I'll call the name of the company. I think they're totally gone now.
Yeah, they're gone. I remember their TV commercials, though, and their radio advertisements.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a good, solid company, but that's probably the craziest thing I ran into.
When did you start to see written loan approvals and pre-qualification letters enter the industry? Was that after the savings and loan crisis in the 80s or before that?
It had to be after that. I mean, back then, just to give you an idea, we had a single-page contract, and it was 8.5 by 11. And I could go out and show a house and write it up. I did a VA loan and closed it out in 3 weeks. I mean, you went down and borrowed some money and closed out the house and went on. We didn't have agency. We didn't have any of this stuff. The business has changed for lots of reasons, and I could probably go into it, but that's another discussion. It's changed dramatically. Back then, I took somebody's word for pre-qualification. I'd ask some questions. I would get out my calculator, and I'd pre-qualify them. But I didn't do a credit check or anything like that. SNLs would still make loans based upon the individual, and they didn't pay quite as much attention to credit scores as to what kind of a person they were. Did they have a good job, and did they have the income? And that was basically it. So that much has changed a lot.
Do you feel like, and looking back at almost 40 years in the business, that the consumer is better protected today, or do you feel like it's really not changed, it's just more regulation?
Probably more regulation. One thing has not changed in our industry is if you'll take the time to look out for your client's best interest, people recognize that. But I think, in my opinion, we've probably gone too far. And usually anytime you have more regulations kick in, it's because somebody else has abused the system. And we've got people in our industry that were shysters and crooks back then. We got them that are shysters and crooks now. I serve on grievance and I still run the stupid people.
And things like the CFPB haven't helped a soul. That's just added more waste to Washington. That's not protecting anybody. So you could keep adding layers, but it doesn't solve people's issues.
No, and you can't fix stupid. At least I hadn't figured out how to do it yet.
Yeah, maybe one day you'll get that magical license.
That would be something to tell about. Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
So if you are a listener to the podcast, my dad now has a new role in the industry. He still does help some buyers on his schedule when it suits him and fits their needs, but he also does provide some coaching to agents in the industry who need a little hand-holding and personal attention. So, Dad, if they'd like to reach out to you about your coaching, what's the best way for folks to reach you?
Probably my email, and that's DT, Delta Tango, SELLS. nc@gmail.com. dtsalesnc@gmail.com.
And I will, of course, include all of Daryl's contact information in the show notes for this episode. By the way, my dad is a proudly decorated, well, he's not really decorated except in my heart, but he is a veteran and he served our country in the U.S. Army. And we thank you for that service, Dad. And anybody listening to the show, if you are a realtor or a lender, an inspector or a vendor, or just a consumer who has gone through something crazy in real estate and you'd like to tell the world about it because you finally found out this is not what HGTV shows you, please contact me and we'll feature you on the show. And I hope you'll reach out to my dad. He's amazing. I'm the luckiest kid in the world. And subscribe to the podcast or just tweet me sometime and I will tweet you back. And we'll see you next time on the show.
For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.